St. John Bosco, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, today's saint, St. John Bosco, he is one of your own patrons. He was a patron saint of young people, and it's interesting because even though we think of him being born about 200 years ago in 1815, and that we think of him as a priest, as an adult, and everything that he did there, he too, like yourselves, was once a young person. And when he was growing up, he started from the very beginning with his love of God and his piety in his life. And he was always striving to be a good example and to help other little souls, other children around him, in any way that he could to bring them to love God the same way that he did. As he got a little bit older, he realized that not only could he have a good positive influence on his friends, but there was ways that he could get even more people to come around him to do little acts of piety and prayer and to listen to the things of the faith just by being an enjoyable person to be around, but having that completely integrated with the faith itself. So he learned all sorts of little ways to entertain his friends. He learned how to juggle and would oftentimes juggle for them, or he'd do little magic tricks, or he'd do acrobatic tricks, or walk on a high wire rope that would be strung out between two trees. All these little things, and the kids would all come and they'd love to see him perform these tricks. And when he would start, he would be happy to perform, but he'd always start off with prayer first. And all the kids that wanted to watch him do these things would have to pray with him. And then when he finished, he would give thanks for being able to perform these feats, and he would pray at the end, too. And so they would have to pray with him all over again. He also was a great storyteller as a child, and he realized that he could use that for good, too. So he used to begin to start telling stories, but always with a religious theme to the stories that he told. He would take some lesson that he studied in his catechism class earlier that week, and he would then go forward and tell a lesson based on his catechism with a nice little story intertwined and entertain his friends. Or he'd tell a story that related to the sermon from Sunday. All of these things gained a little follower of friends that also wanted to be holy like St. John Bosco. Well, when he got older, he didn't stop wanting to gain souls for God, and he realized that especially with children, he needed to be that good guiding example. And so he longed to become a priest, and he worked when he was studying for that. He was working very hard at all of his studies, and his own brother was kind of against it because of the fact that there was so much work to do on the farm at his home, and his father had died when he was only 2 years old, that they needed his help. But not to worry, the mother saw that it was the most important aspect, that he follow God's vocation for him, and so she stood up for his defense and said, "No, you leave him alone, he's going to be a priest." And he studied very hard, and one day was finally ordained. And he was a great lover of the patron of our diocese, St. Francis de Sales, and his spiritual life. And he would always look to him for help. And he also followed that same mode that St. Francis de Sales had, which was that you can always gain more souls by honey than you could by vinegar. And so he always wanted to be nice, to be a good influence to people around him. Well, as a priest, he started to set up little groups for young boys that he found. At that time, these boys many of them would have to go and work, and they'd work in these very dangerous and awful conditions, and they'd be surrounded by these people that were bad influences on them. So he wanted to give them a place that they could go and they could learn and they could study their schoolwork and they could play and then they could pray and that they could go to the sacraments. They could even learn a trade as they got older to take with them out into life. And even if they needed to, a place for them to sleep. And so he set up these little oratories, which was one of these places where they could do everything that they needed to in a good Catholic environment. And the boys came from all over, and they loved him. And soon he needed a bigger place, and they filled that place up. and they loved him more, and they it grew and grew eventually into finally forming into a religious order, the Salesians, that St. John Bosco started for that very purpose, to continue on throughout the years after he was gone. But all the way, and probably the most important lesson I want you to take from it, was his devotion to Our Lady and his dependence and trust in her. He always looked to Our Lady Help of Christians. Many times when he needed bigger properties, she would make those properties available. When he needed more money to pay for those places, and it seemed impossible, he would pray to her and trust her, and she would always come through when he needed it. And even, she would go as far as protecting St. John Bosco's life. All that good work that he was doing, you'd think that everybody would like him, but no, there was actually a lot of people at the time that hated the Catholic Church, and they hated the work of priests. And many of them, he became very popular around there. He was writing things for people to read so that they could become Catholics, and he was taking care of so many of the boys of the streets that he became an enemy of these wicked men, and they oftentimes sought to kill him. And the first time that that happened, Our Lady of Help of Christians performed a miracle to save his life. He was preaching catechism to the kids in the choir loft, and these young men came and they shot at him through the window. They had him perfectly lined up. Nobody even knew they were there. They could take all the time they wanted to aim, and they shot, and everybody heard the gunfire, and the shooters ran away, and they were looking to see what had happened. And St. John Bosco looks down, and there's a perfect hole right through his cassock. Yet, because of his devotion to Our Lady, she ensured that he didn't get hit by the bullet, but the bullet only passed through his cassock. He didn't even know how he managed to not get hit by it, but there he was, and he just continued on teaching catechism to the scared children to help them out. Our Lady would also send a defender in the way of a dog named Grigio, who would miraculously come and accompany St. John Bosco on the long, dangerous journeys through the streets. If he had to go out at nighttime, knowing that the people would be waiting to hurt him, and this big gray dog would walk right by his side to wherever he was going and back all the way to the house. And he would come out of nowhere, and he would disappear once St. John Bosco was safely back home. One day, there were four people waiting for him in an alleyway, and one came up behind him with a knife, and St. John Bosco saw him coming with the knife out, and he started running forward, and all of a sudden, three others came to block his pathway, and he was stuck in between these men, and all by himself, and nighttime in the street. And he thought, well, it's easier to fight one than three, so he immediately turned and started to fight with the man with the knife. And then out of nowhere, as the other three tried to get him from behind, Grigio came jumping out of the night and pinned two of them down with his huge paws, ready just inches away from their necks. And the third one fled away, and St. John Bosco was able to take the knife out of the fourth man's hands, and he ran off, and then the dog let up the two terrified assassins on the ground, and they all took off, and St. John Bosco had to hold the dog back from going after and killing these men, and they escaped into the night, and they never bothered, those individuals never bothered him again, always knowing about the dog that was waiting there. One time, the dog didn't even let him go out. He was about to go back into the city for something late at night, and there was Grigio sitting by the front gate, growling at St. John Bosco. Usually he was very happy to see St. John Bosco. He was growling and blocking the way. And no matter how much he tried, he couldn't get past the dog. So he finally resigned himself that he just wasn't going to be able to go out that night. And sure enough, a few minutes later, after he had gone into the house, somebody came pulling up in a carriage to the house, to the oratory, and called out to St. John Bosco and said, "Don't go out tonight. There's a group of murderers with guns waiting for you in the city, looking to kill you." And so the dog had protected him because it was sent by Our Lady. Children, the most important thing that we can do, be like St. John Bosco in our devotion to Our Lady. Dangers come to us. Now, we're not going to have people waiting in the street most likely to kill us, but dangers come to us in the way of temptation. Dangers come to the way in us of bad companions that might try to get us to commit sins. But dangers might come to us. Always the devil wants to take away the faith from us. Yet every time, if we're devoted to Our Lady, and every time we need help in fighting off temptations or whatever difficulties might come our way that stand between us and God, if we turn to Our Lady, help of Christians, we're no different than St. John Bosco. She'll always protect us. She'll always help us. And she'll always give us the graces that we need to continue to seek to be good, holy people. And like St. John Bosco, if we always do that to the very end of our days, then we'll find the same reward waiting for us in heaven. And God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.